Second floor, pure sweet music department. Chris Ballew has had a long and fascinating career in music. He busted out on the Seattle scene in the 90s with Presidents of the United States of America, and he's made 17, 18 records for kids as Casper Baby Pants. Now he's coming out of the pandemic-induced fog with a really exciting solo record, his first under his actual name, Chris Ballew. Amazing. We'll talk to him about it right after we enjoy this first track, the title track from I Am Not Me. I'm Jeff Hoyt, and this is Chris Ballew. Title track from I Am Not Me by Chris Ballew. And Chris is here. Welcome.
Da, 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 da. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's so great to see you and great to hear this record.
Thank you.
I just I was in love with it from the first track you dropped. I was so satisfied, which we'll listen to in just a few.
Yeah.
Very few records other than like Pink Floyd fade in.
I know. And it's funny, I kind of listened to the record a little bit on the way here today to kind of reacquaint myself because I didn't listen to it for 3 months. And I gave it one spin on record release day and I kind of wanted to have it in my mind. And it only struck me today that I made the bold choice of fading in for some reason. It just was obvious that I faded it in when I did it. And today I was like, wow, why did I decide to do that?
Yeah, I was thinking there had to be a choice there, but there really wasn't.
But you know what? It's actually because this is a lot of these songs are rewrites or updates of weird songs I wrote long ago. Some of them in the early 80s. And this one is a rewrite of a bit that I did in 1989 and it faded in the original.
Okay.
I think I just did it because the original faded in. So,
the record is made up of threads of
some,
stuff.
In some cases, there's fresh ones and there's threads. When I start a new arc, like I am, like the Casper Baby Pants was an arc, right? I like to get my sonic palette together, and I also like to look back over all these fragments I have of, you know, little handheld recordings or four track stuff, and find breadcrumbs that I've left myself that are relevant to whatever arc I'm embarking on. And the Casper thing was no exception. I found all these songs that were failures, quote unquote, from the past, but they were really trying to be innocent little kids songs, but I wasn't writing kids music in, you know, 1992. So I didn't know what it was.
And yet there were elements of old President stuff.
Yeah.
That had this, which was very, non-grunge like, you know, in that time.
Yeah.
But it had this sort of sunniness and optimism that later came out in your Casper sus.
Yeah. Casper there's songs. That. Yeah, absolutely. And as I looked back, as I started this new arc, this whatever it is.
we'll come up with a name for it.
Yeah. I looked back, I looked back and I found hundreds of fragments and bits that were trying to be this.
Really?
That I just recorded anyway. One of my big mantras, my rules with myself is if I make up a song that seems completely irrelevant to what I'm doing at the moment, record it anyway, because someday maybe it's a hint, maybe it's a foreshadowing of something that's going to come. So anyway, there's a lot of old stuff and a lot of completely fresh stuff, but yeah, this one originally was called I Am Me. But since I've spent a lot of energy getting into becoming an enlightened human being, I realized I am not me.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you if that had anything to do with your Casper alter ego.
No, it's really just the fact that like, it's that Descartes, faux pas when he's like, I think therefore I am.
Yeah,
that's not really, you know, the thinking you is just the one you, and then there's the pure energy you. So there's maybe at least two. I don't know how many there really
getting
are.
Very deep here.
I know.
Opening lyric, pure sweet music fills my soul.
Yeah.
That's kind of the album.
It is.
Yeah.
That's why another reason I put it at the beginning.
Yeah.
Cause it was really an experience making this music. It, I followed my instincts way more doing this than I ever had. Like previously I would really kind of come up with a funny idea or a funny image, and the song would kind of be an arrow pointing at a vision I had in my head of something. It was like the songwriting process was more about describing a visual sort of little hallucination or silly idea that I had. And now it's really like the songs start with barely anything, nothing, just a little riff. And I'll just follow that riff and start building it and manipulating it and adding parts. And pretty soon the music will suggest a theme or an idea or a word will start coming out, and I'll just open a track and babble.
So this was a music first, lyrics later set kind of project.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it was lyrical at first, it would just be an idea. Like I want to write a song about, you know, laziness, or like I wrote Frozen Fog because I was sitting around with Kate, my wife, who had surgery during the pandemic, and she was stuck on the couch for 2 weeks. And so I was kind of stuck on the couch too. So I just was like, I need a song about being on the couch because that's what I'm doing. But really it's just like, I'll start with a little tiny thing and it just grows. And then if I lose interest, I just take it off the highway and I put it in a folder of stuff that died on the vine that I'll revisit. But it's really about like not trying to grab ideas or being afraid that they'll evaporate before I get to them, but really like laying back and trusting that if it's a good idea, it will continue to flow. And if it's not, it'll stop flowing and I'll put it away. So that's new for me.
Yeah.
I used to be very much like, oh, I got to get, you know, this song is about to go. And that kind of came from, I think, having hits in the 90s and then having the pressure to follow up
and record contracts and all that.
Yeah. You put that on yourself as a songwriter, then you can't sit. I couldn't sit down and just enjoy playing music. It was always a mental gymnastics of like, is that thing I just played, you know, a future hit? I better develop it. But it was fear.
Yeah.
It's like fear of loss based.
Right.
Versus now it's more like, I don't mind. If the song dies, it dies, and it'll live again or it won't. I don't know.
Oh, well, this was your first record as Chris Ballew. How is that possible?
Yeah, I guess I technically put out a couple of instrumental records under this heading of Sampledelic, but I didn't really put myself forward consciously as it felt more of a side thing. Yeah. They're all instrumental albums. Yeah, this is the first one where I was kind of faced with like, okay, I know I'm starting a new arc.
I know what my name is.
I know what my name is. I know
I'm a person. Let's start
there. Yeah, right. I do, you know, usually at the beginning of an arc, I will think, okay, what do I want to call it? But this is the first time I really feel like I'm synthesizing all these like ideas and principles from all the previous work into something that's truly me. Like it's, I'm playful like Casper Baby Pants, and I've got clarity in the vocals, and there's, there's musical choices I'm making that are kind of Casper. There's, you know, distorted guitars and riffs like some of the President stuff. There's my lyrically, I'm representing all this thinking I've been doing and, you know, searching for a perspective about existence and stuff like that. So it's really synthesizing all these different versions of me. So I'm happy.
That's great. And you can hear that. You can hear a little bit of everything you've done coming through. And I want to jump to that song that you just referenced, Frozen Fog.
Right.
Which to me felt like a pandemic induced track.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. Yeah.
Life lived in neutral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And mainly the message is that's okay.
Yeah.
Don't be hard on yourself if you need to just sit still and sink in.
Well, we should just go over there and listen to Frozen Fog.
There you go.
Here it comes on Hoitus Interruptus, the special. Frozen Fog, Casper Ballou, or Casper Ballou, Chris Ballou from I Am Not Me.
Chris Blue Pants.
Don't want to move my fingers. Don't want to move my toes. Don't want to get my get up to get up and go.
Yeah.
and I got no other plans, and that's okay.
Which
comes through in other parts of the record too.
Right.
Which is kind of a message that I think we all want to receive right now.
Yeah. I think in I Am Not Me, I say death is perfectly safe. So let's go home.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that line. I watched, over and over during the pandemic, a movie, about Ram Dass called Becoming Nobody. And that's from that movie.
Yeah.
He had two things to say about death, which were so beautiful. Death is perfectly safe. And death is like taking off a tight shoe, which I love. The tight shoe being us trapped in these bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
And we won't really realize how nice it is to slip it off until we slip out.
Well, I think maybe one of the reasons I said Casper Ballou is that there is a lot of Casper baby pants floating through a lot of this music, which is, they seem to be songs of acceptance and taking people, you know, at their core as they are.
Sure. And then aesthetically, you're absolutely right. And it's something I just realized today, also listening to this on the way here, which is that as I made the Casper records, I made way too many lullabies, which is why I have two lullaby records, because there were just so many. And I think what it was a precursor to what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
I was making these like groovy, spacious, and I was having trouble like, you know, keeping the themes and the lyrics innocent because I wanted to get spacey and abstract. In fact, I put a few on Casper Records. There's one called Made of Light, which is 7 minutes long on Sleep Tight. And it's a loop.
A deep cut.
And I actually am remaking it as a Chris Ballou song for a future album. Because when I put it on, I was like, I think this is for something else. I think it's for something in the future. But you know what? It sounds good. I'm going to put it on. But I need to update it because it was the first one. It was the first Chris Ballou track that ended up being a Casper track. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, a lot of these songs struck me as comforting at their core.
Yeah.
Relaxing. The first time I listened to it was all the way through was during a walk. I took a walk, and Cindy did the same thing, and she said, "This is perfect walking music."
Yeah,
like Frozen Fog. Yeah,
yeah.
You get right into the pace of it. Then I listened to.
Were you walking like John Travolta in the beginning of Saturday Night Fever, just like with a paint can?
Yeah,
that's how you have to walk to the whole record.
And then I listened. The second time I listened to it was while mowing the lawn. With noise canceling headphones.
Which is basically walking.
Yeah, it's basically walking. And it worked in that context too. And I remember talking to you about this, and you said that you want this to be a record that you could even just lie down on the couch and take a nap to.
Yeah, there was a sort of a directive as I was making it. In the early stages, I let myself go crazy, and I had all these like really heavy guitars and wah-wah solos. I was kind of coming off loving the heavy psychedelia of like Spaceman 3, Spiritualized, Moon Duo, these like kind of heavy fuzzy bands that I like. But then I kind of realized it was demanding something of the listeners. I didn't want to be demanding, you know, like as a songwriter and somebody recording music, you can decide I'm going to be self-indulgent and push the boundaries. And this is about me expressing myself, and I'm not really going to consider the audio experience of the listener, or maybe challenging the listener is your statement or whatever.
Yeah.
But I definitely didn't want to do that in the end. I wanted it to be like a warm, fuzzy blanket that you can put around yourself. And I wanted people to feel like they could kind of dance to it, like do a little dance or take a little nap. So I kind of came up with its nap dance music. And the filter of nap dance affected me signing off on mixes and creative choices. I was like, well, is this going to interrupt the nap dance, or is this going to help the nap dance?
So that became the filter through which it all went.
I discovered when making the Casper stuff that considering the listener's experience and really putting myself in that room, and what does that room need, or what does that car need when the kids are crying? And now I'm thinking like, you know, what is a person who's doing a nap dance need. Mm-hmm. You could actually, maybe people should lie on their bed and dance while lying down. I think that's the move. That's the image I'm going to use from now on as I make this stuff. Yeah.
Well, I think that's the name of the next record, possibly.
Nap dance.
Nap dance.
Or a song. That could be a good song.
Yeah, yeah.
Take a nap dance.
Yeah.
You know, take a little nap, do a little dance, take a little nap, get down tonight.
Yeah. So the first song that you sent out as a single was So Satisfied.
Yeah.
Which we're going to play next.
Okay.
And I knew right then, okay, this is the kind of record I want to listen to. And I wasn't exactly sure why. Hmm. It just resonated with me in a way that I couldn't quite define until I listened to it a few times through. Hmm. And it was, I think the openness of the lyrics, the thing that I found this throughout the record that you can interpret these lyrics a lot of different ways. The songs almost act like a Rorschach test to me.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if I would take this lyric one way and somebody else would take it a completely different way.
Yeah.
And isn't that kind of what every songwriter kind of wants?
Maybe. I mean, it's what I want for sure. Yeah. I want to hold up a mirror to people through the lyrics in a way where I decided with this stuff, I'm not going to sing about you or us or what we need to do, or I'm going to sing from the first person. Like, these are my experiences. I'm not trying to pass judgment. Or, so I decided to really just write from there. And there's no arguing with an I feel statement. Mm-hmm. These are basically all I feel songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel this. I feel this. So it's an invitation to just ponder those emotions because I'm not demanding anything.
Yeah. Know? Okay, let's check out So Satisfied here.
Right on.
I will find it. It's here somewhere.
Oh, okay, there it is.
There it is. I am not me. Chris Ballew.
Say
So Satisfied, Chris Ballou. And that's from his new record, I Am Not Me, which just dropped on this past Saturday.
Friday.
Yeah. Okay. And available in all the usual places, including your website.
Yeah, if you want to get it directly from the person who made it, you can get it at chrisballou.org. But you can also get it wherever you get music, or you can steal it wherever you steal music.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that song, again, like the so many, feels like a testament to resilience and taking life as it comes. Hey, that's okay.
It's really primarily, I intended it to be about the blank spot, about what happens. What's the afterlife? What happens later? Mm-hmm. I grew up in a very Catholic environment, and then I kind of, one day it felt very abstract and I didn't believe it really. And I thought, well, it's okay if I don't believe that. There's gotta be something to believe. Mm-hmm. So I started this long search, and one of the things I kind of landed on is the question is okay. The question is a destination. Yeah. Like, it's okay to just be so satisfied with the blank spot and not know. You know, so I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know.
You know that when you don't know that.
That's right.
How did the heart of the pandemic play out for you creatively?
Very well. Yeah. I was burned out when it started. Uh-huh. I was in that like desperate grabbing at songs, like frantic, got to get everything down, Casper Baby Pants mode, so much so that I made 3 records at the same time right before the pandemic. And 2 of them I put out during the pandemic, Bug Out and Happy Heart. And so when everything went down, I was ready for a big fat break anyway. So, although it was a, you know, obviously it's a terrible thing for so many people and, you know, the world in general. As an artist, I was kind of able to really take advantage of the blank space. I guess it's again about being happy with the blankness.
Yeah.
I was embracing the blankness so much so that I took my entire studio and I took it apart and I put it in boxes and I put it away.
Wow.
So all I had was a blank desk. I could not record even if I wanted to. It wouldn't be worth unpacking everything. So eventually the urge to record went away, and but I did go in the studio every day and I played. Uh-huh. I tried to get back to being like a kid. Like, I just want to play piano and I'd improvise, or I was learning old, you know, Beatles songs. I learned A Day in the Life and I played it like 10 times a day and I figured out how to do the orchestral swell on piano. Yeah.
And
I
just
figured out a little mathematics, and so I would do stuff like that. I'd learn other people's songs. I picked up guitars. I plugged in a fuzz pedal for the first time in 10 years, you know, like, what's this? Bzz, bzz, bzz. And I was like, oh, that's fun. I haven't rocked out for a while.
Yeah.
So I would rock out or improvise piano. And in that blank space is where this new music started to come out. 'Cause I started playing these riffs and these loopy things, and they're fuzzy and they're beautiful. And eventually songs started to form out of that stillness.
So there was no plan to now I'm going to make a Chris Ballou record.
Absolutely not.
It just kind of presented itself to you as
I think I just opened myself up to whatever. I stopped trying to control.
Yeah.
Kind of learned that too lately about myself. There's a lot of, and maybe that's true for a lot of people, when you feel, when you've had you know, experiences in your life where you don't feel safe or you feel vulnerable, sometimes control can pop up in weird ways. I mean, there's classic ways like hoarding and eating disorders and alcohol and drug abuse. And there's other ways like obsessive creativity. And I suffered from that for sure.
Yeah.
Stopping and letting go of my need to control and just following rather than leading.
Well, if you had not taken the studio apart and had just kept on pushing, thinking, well, I got to be productive during this downtime, it's possible that this new thing might not have come along.
Very possible.
Yeah.
Because really it just came out of the stillness.
Yeah.
I had to be still to hear it.
And now, today I went on your wiki page and it said that the 19th and final Casper record is coming out next year.
Yeah. Well, actually this year, November 5th.
This year. Okay.
Yeah.
Has that been the plan all along? Have you known for a while, even before the pandemic, that you were reaching the end of that arc?
Well, I knew when I finished those 3 records right before the pandemic, I knew that one of them was going to be the last record, because at that point I had scraped the barrel clean. Uh-huh. Like all those fragments from many years past, I had listened to my entire library, which is like 5,000 fragments twice in search of nuggets. Uh-huh. And I found, I got them all, I think. Yeah. So now if I come up with a really good couple of ideas for Casper songs, I'll put out a single or one, I'll put out a little single or a video or something. So if they pop up, I'm not going to shoo them away.
Well, now what kind of a show schedule were you playing as Casper before the pandemic hit?
Ooh, like right before, probably like 150 shows a year, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. And in 2015, 16, I was doing like 250 a year. I was like nuts.
Yeah.
That might be a little high. Maybe it was 100 and 200. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, in that neighborhood.
It's enough.
I've done I've done like 1300 Casper Baby Pants shows.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that part was getting a little exhausting too. I needed a break from that too. Yeah. So that was kind of welcome. And as I go back to shows, I am doing shows. Uh-huh. I've got Chomp, this festival at Marymore Park on the 21st of August. It's free. It's a really fun, cool thing. I think I'm on in the morning, like 10:30.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to really concentrate on bigger shows, like seated theaters or outdoor shows with full production, backstage kind of stuff. So I can serve more people and it's more spacious. And I think I'm a little done with playing in the hot sun at a bouncy house festival, where there's like sunscreen going in my crow's feet, burning my eyes and all over the guitar. And I'm sweating buckets and, I've got to play the loudest songs to compete with the bouncy houses and that kind of stuff.
The interesting thing about the whole Casper arc is that it was, in a way, it's almost like being a high school athletics coach. You just have new people coming into your sphere of influence all the time.
Every 5 years. Every 5 years, my fan base grows out of me. But every 5 years is a fresh one.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is great.
Yeah. And almost like, they say that your skin completely disappears over the course of however long.
Yeah,
and
then you have an
entirely new body after.
Yes. Ooh, that's a good idea. I like that for a Chris Ballou song.
Okay.
Yeah. Skin gone. Skin is gone. I don't know. Something.
The skin is gone.
The skin is gone.
Now, back to your new record. I noticed. And I was going to ask you about, there's some science in some of these songs. There's evolution and solar or sonic eclipse.
Submicroscopic.
And I was wondering if you were a science nerd growing up at all.
Yeah. I mean, Cosmos, the show Cosmos.
Me too.
Blew my mind.
The original with Carl Sagan.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that show is why I veered away from the mythology of Catholicism. I really was like, maybe there's something divine in that, that I could chase down. And so, part of the effort I've made to kind of find a version of awareness and perception that makes me feel connected is science, quantum physics. Particle theory, how way down at very submicroscopic levels, particles move forward and backward in time, and nobody knows why. And that's the kind of thing I just find fascinating.
Do you know Bill Nye?
I have been on the show. I did a remake of Peaches called Farm Food for an episode. And I saw him on the street in L.A. when Katie and I went to L.A. We went to L.A. like 10 years ago for a trip. And thought, we're going to see stars. And the only star we saw was Bill Nye walking on a side street off of Sunset.
Okay.
All we got was Bill Nye. Yeah.
I can do that back in Seattle.
I don't know him personally.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just thinking there are several of these songs that would make great music videos with Bill Nye. I think that he would be all.
Well, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I mean, if he's out, I know Neil listens to the show. So Neil, give me a call.
Absolutely.
Let's do some stuff.
Yeah. So we're going to listen to Submicroscopic.
Okay.
I think that may be my favorite track.
Wow, thanks.
I just love that track.
And there's a special guest vocalist on this one. So let's see if people can...
I was going to ask you about that. We'll find
out
after we hear it. This is Submicroscopic from I Am Not Me on this Hoitus Interruptus special. Thanks for joining us today. This is Chris Ballou.
Inside the inner, my mind is melting. disintegrating. My arms are leaving, my head is aching. A quantum bender feels interstellar. A neutron number is how I call her. Hello, I'm falling, that's why I'm calling. Can you please grab me before I'm totally gone? Before I'm totally gone. Before I'm totally gone.
Submicroscopic, 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 submicroscopic,
submicroscopic. Submicroscopic, 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 submicroscopic.
I'm tipping under, I'm losing balance. Erased all of my memory palace. I'm sliding sideways into a new space. My heart is fading, nothing in its place. Particle blankets, I'm cozy under. Chemical darkness is where I slumber. Hello, I'm falling, that's why I'm calling. Can you please grab me before I'm totally gone?
Submicroscopic, 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 submicroscopic.
Inside the inner, my mind is melting, disintegrating. My arms are leaving, my head is aching. A quantum bender feels interstellar. A neutron number is how I call her. Hello, I'm falling, that's why I'm calling. Can you please grab me before I'm totally gone?
Catch me, Jeff. I'm floating away.
I'm gone.
I'm floating away.
That was, I loved how you did that at the end. It was just such a great way, because you're almost, you're in the groove, so you're just expecting it to keep going, and then you're gone.
Gone. I know. It's fun, too. I love using a lot of reverb and effects on the vocals,
uh-huh,
so that sometimes I can use none.
Yeah.
And at the end of that song, it's just dry.
Yeah.
I love being dry as opposed to wet sometimes, too.
I am getting smaller. I am getting thinner. I'm going to see you inside the inner. If they ever do a re-release of the movie Fantastic Voyage.
Oh.
Remember that movie?
I never saw it.
Oh, Raquel Welch.
Ooh, I need to write that down.
Yeah.
Put it on my list.
She wasn't the star, but that's the first thing any guy would think about, mm-hmm, about that movie, because she was in it. But it's about a trip inside someone's body.
Oh, right. I remember that.
In a little tiny submarine.
Yeah, they shrink it down and put it in a hypodermic needle, yeah, and shoot it into the... I think I saw, yeah, bits of that when I was a kid.
Yeah. Oh, I loved that movie.
That sounds good.
And they're in there and the white corpuscles are fighting, yeah, them, you know, and trying to off the submarine, take it out. And,
right.
I was thinking of that movie, getting thinner and smaller and going inside.
Yeah. I love it.
You were getting your Thomas Dolby on a little bit there.
Yeah. Science. Doom, doom,
doom, doom. So tell us, who is the voice on?
That is Microsoft Word. I think his name is Randy. I typed the word submicroscopic, and
yeah,
I went in and found one of their, you know, like voices,
uh-huh,
and got it to be the right rhythm.
Yeah.
And had Randy do it. I needed a robotic voice. I was like, oh yeah, there's speech to text.
Yeah.
I'll just get speech to text to do my backup.
That. Oh, that's the beginning. That's where it all starts. Thanks a lot for that, Chris.
Yeah. Singers are going to be out of work.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? After the auto-tune revolution, maybe the next revolution is no singer, just auto-generated singing.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're already talking about it for audiobooks and commercials. And so I'm thinking, I'm glad I'm at the end of my career.
Exactly. Yeah. That's like being a violin player when the synthesizer came along. Like,
yeah.
Uh-oh.
I just don't think, though, that you can quite, you know, with AI, I just don't think you can get the acting touches necessary to, everything is a little flat. It's still a little flat. It sounds fine for a lot of applications, the AI generated speech to text stuff.
Yeah.
Or text to speech, whatever that is. but for audiobooks, I still don't believe it's going to.
Yeah, it might not hit. And you know, even if it does, then you'll have the side genre of human read audiobooks. You know, like vinyl. Vinyl has made a comeback.
Yeah.
Vinyl is huge because of digital. Like it's a it's a light dark push pull relationship.
Yeah.
And we're all talking about really positive things and becoming enlightened because of Donald Trump.
There you go.
I mean, he's a vacuum.
Yeah.
He's a black void and we're filling it with light.
Yeah. Yes. Finally. let's talk about how this record was made.
Right.
I thought it was completely just Chris Ballew, but you have some thank yous on your record.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so I really thought I'll just do this by myself. And I really wanted it to be from one brain, you know? But eventually I kind of, again, thought back to the Casper Baby Pants experience. And what I did for the first four records is I had 40 test families and I would send them what I call the way too long album. You know, it's like 40 songs instead of 20. And they would just give me really quick, like, you know, love it. It's okay. Didn't like it. And how did it work for you? So anyway, I decided, okay, I need to do that for this. I need to do the step where I farm out opinions. And Pete Droege, a wonderful Vashon Island resident, who we all love.
A good friend of the show.
He was the first person to really like get on board and start giving me, you know, honest feedback and helping me kind of hone in on a lot of his feedback was really great as far as the sound quality.
Yeah.
Like he'd identify when I've got too much bass or, you know, this tambourine is killing me in the ears.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I work in my own studio, I have my own speakers and sometimes you get inured to certain frequencies in your own system. He was really good at that. And then eventually I folded in a friend of mine, Mark Heberlein, who is this incredible music collector. His collection is ridiculous. It's an entire basement just full of stuff. And he's an English teacher. So he has this like really contextual knowledge of how, like how a song would fit in the context of all music. And he thinks about the lyrics and he thinks about how the lyrics and the music kind of dovetail together to paint a unified picture. So he would come at me with interesting feedback. Like there's a song that's not on this album, but there was a song called Ringing a Bell. And I didn't really have clear intention with the verse vocals. And he's like, go read Edgar Allan Poe's The Bells. And then rewrite the lyrics. And I did, and I did, and it totally worked.
Wow.
So feedback like that is great. Yeah. Like here's an assignment, go absorb somebody else's thing and then reinterpret it.
Yeah.
So between Pete and Mark, I really consider them like co-producers. And then they both helped with sequencing and final song selection and stuff like that. And so I need to tip my non-existent hat. As far as you can tell on the radio, I'm okay. I am wearing a hat, a giant top hat, a silk top hat from the 1800s. I am tipping it to Pete Droege and Mark Heberlein for their help.
Yeah. They contributed a lot to the record and but for the layperson like myself,
right,
that doesn't understand how loops and samples and things like that work.
Yeah.
How would you explain that aspect of the production?
I use Pro Tools. I don't use a lot of fancy plugins and fancy extra effects and stuff like that. I treat Pro Tools, I record on a laptop. I have one mic, one laptop, and that's it.
Yeah.
So everything you're hearing is just one little thing. And I just, you know, I don't know. I use that basically as a tape deck. Uh-huh. Like, I don't think of Pro Tools as much as a, I don't know, as a device for getting too tricky. I like mm-hmm. the editing mm-hmm. capability, and I just use it as an endless tape deck.
Yeah.
So I'll just put down a little beat. I have a iPad that has GarageBand on it, and I use the drums in GarageBand a lot, and I uh-huh. just put down a little beat maybe, or I'll start with a bass line and a little click track.
Then painting off of that.
Yeah, and then I kind of make chunks, like, all right, here's the bass line happening 8 times. That's a chunk. And then I'll, early in the process, I just let things loop on and on and on. Right. I don't have a lot of variety.
Yeah.
Because I can just go like, okay, here's the bass line. Okay, do that 50 times. Okay, now here's the guitar line. Do that 50 times. And then mm-hmm. I can just groove on it for 5 minutes without having played the whole thing uh-huh. and exhausted yeah. myself. Yeah. Uh-huh. And here, like, okay, is this working? No, it needs to be a little faster or a different key. And then I'll strip it all down and do it again.
Yeah.
You know, so I do a lot of like looping at the beginning, and then the hills and valleys start to present, like, okay, here we need a break, and here we need the guitars to do something else. And
yeah.
So I just sort of start, you know, picking and choosing and turning some things up, turning some things down, and waiting for it to click, I guess. It's hard to, you know, I think describing how I record would take an entire hour.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we just went to your show at VCA, Vashon Center for the Arts, where your yeah. visual art was on display. Mm-hmm. And you were quite prolific during the pandemic.
Yeah. It was a lot of time to sink yeah. into the couch and draw.
And your visual art has kind of a similar to me feel, in that it's abstract. And you can interpret it. You can see almost like a Rorschach test in a way,
yeah.
you know, you can see yeah. different shapes and themes. And I was just, you were doing this all at the same time. You were making yeah. this music and making your art all at the same time.
Correct.
In a similar way, it sounded like.
Yeah. I mean, they both have the kind of intention of like showing my experience. Mm-hmm. The art is really stuff I come up with every day. I do like deep breathing, kind of moving. It's kind of a yoga deep breathing thing called Qigong every day. And I do meditation, and I'll do that throughout the day. And as I'm doing that, I'm kind of negotiating with my inner parts, my mm-hmm. little ego army, as I call them. And those negotiations and those sort of visualizations of that relationship turn into totems of those moments. Like, here's a moment where I'm feeling like completely great, completely free, and the top of my head is open and birds are coming out, or I'll visualize yeah. that. So I'll draw that
yeah.
as a way to kind of refer back to that feeling. So I'm yeah. kind of drawing them for myself as uh-huh. markers for little moments in there. But then I thought, oh, you know, other people might want to see these. So I kind of started to use it that way. So it's kind of the same intention. It's like, here's what's happening to me. Uh-huh. They're all I feel statements yeah. and you're welcome to either resonate with them or not, but I'm hoping that people resonate with them because what I'm feeling is probably universal.
Right.
You know, it's probably a human experience, yeah. not just my experience.
And especially with what we've all been through, I think even though there's tons of partisan division across the world, really, especially here in the US, we all had to experience that. We all did experience the pandemic, the worst of it together, still are.
Yeah.
And that has a little bit of a binding quality to it, just because it's universal. We all had to deal with the obstacles that it laid in our path.
Yeah. Yeah, we were all invited to experience the same, hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of it as an invitation, because it is like any pain or fear or negative experience is still an invitation to fill that space with the opposite, you know?
And a good time to play a song that personally just really lifted me up. And I want to get this and one more in before we wrap up our hour. Teeny Tiny Flower.
Oh.
Second track that you dropped as a single.
I love this one.
I love this song too. Here it comes.
Woo! Oh, another fade up.
Yeah.
Revolutionary.
Oh, trend is forming.
It's a wonder that you survive.
Blossoming all the time.
Well, the band all left.
There's that dry vocal again. Yeah. I love it.
Did they just walk out?
Yeah. That was sort of me trying to pay homage to Shining Star by the Commodores.
Right.
It ends with that super dry.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I've always liked that about,
love it.
About songs that just sort of remove elements toward the end until it's just vocal.
Yeah. Until it's just crickets.
Yeah, exactly. The last song I want to play, because we are just about out of time.
Oh, no.
Is Sonic Eclipse. And I wanted to ask you about it before we do it.
Right.
It made me, it seemed like a COVID song to me. It was like about getting everything out and all the sounds go away, or you're in a space where you don't hear anything. And again, like a Rorschach test, I could be interpreting completely different from what you did.
Yeah.
But I remember a conversation you and I had at a party once about sensory deprivation chambers.
Yes.
And I was wondering, was there a little of that in there? Is there any element of that thinking or that fascination that you have with that?
You know, I'm not 1,000% sure. Uh-huh. I don't really know what the song is about, and I never have. And I kind of left it like that. Well,
I can explain it for you.
actually, as I have listened to it in the last couple of days, I've thought that actually what I was talking about, I think, is a sonic eclipse, meaning like being overcome by a wall of sound, like not absence, but just like an absolute torrent of sound does the same thing.
Right.
Like blanks you out.
Yeah.
When Nevermind came out, Nirvana's big record, of course, I was living in Boston right after it came out, and I would turn it up to this, maybe where I got nap dance music. Mm-hmm. I would turn that record up to 11 as loud as it would go and fall asleep, because it just took over all my senses. So anyway, I think it's kind of about that, but I'm really not sure.
Well, let's go out on it.
Okay.
And I thank you. We're coming out to the island.
You're asking me out? You want to go out on it?
Yeah, let's go out on it.
All right, we're going out.
Thanks for coming out to the island and having the conversation and talking about this wonderful record, which I personally think is a stress reducer.
Good. Yeah. That is why I'm doing it. I'm trying to go beyond just look at me, I'm clever, I'm creative, and I want to make music that has a purpose. And, and this is the purpose of this.
It's working on Cindy and me. I can tell you that.
Thanks for having me. And in a few weeks or a couple months, it won't be thanks for coming out to the island, because my house will be done.
Yes. We are looking forward to you being a permanent resident.
I cannot wait to be a one house Vashon man and my wife,
Kate. But for now, you have to get in the ferry line.
I got
to
go.
Yeah.
Thanks, I got to go do a Zoom call with Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Oh, excellent. Way to name drop.
I know.
Or as Kate would say, good for you.
Good for you.
Thanks, man.
Take care, Jeff.
All right. Take it easy. This is Sonic Eclipse.
When the background noise annoys, distant distortion to avoid. There are places in the brain that you can save from scary trips. Sonic eclipse. When you pile on the sound, compress the best into the ground. What you're doing is unmuting all the channels till it fits. Sonic eclipse. I miss you now like before. I heard your shape walk out the door. of waiting lips.
From I Am Not Me. Many thanks to Chris Ballou for joining us today to talk about his new record. You can find it in all the usual places, including his website at chrisballou.org. I'm Jeff Hoyt, and thank you for joining us today on this special Hoytus Interruption.